Welcome back, folks. All right, I got to move on. I mean, the ADL is calling goyslop anti-Semitism. The term goyslop, anti-Semitism. Okay. So we've gotten to a point where I think we're done. I think we're done talking about all of this. I'll just finish out again with this post from at Lost My Hats, JD on X. He says, if anti-Semitism is such a big deal, you know, well, why aren't you in Israel? There's no anti-Semitism there, right? Well, it's because Israel was never what they told us it was for. Israel is a power-laundering international outpost that allows them to maintain state-sponsored violence, a base of operations for sanctions-free rulemaking, a place where criminals can escape extradition. And the diaspora serves as a native lobbying operation for the benefit of the Israeli state. If Jews worldwide actually treated Israel like a homeland and not a corporate headquarters, we wouldn't have the Jewish-related conflict ripping apart nations like the U.S. at the seams. It's time to be done first. With the Zionist project, because it's failed its intended purpose, or for Jews worldwide to commit to their alleged homeland and move there and escape all the anti-Semitism they're subjected to in the West, so they don't have to be worked up by the Israeli PM to fight their host nations. They have a right to return. Return already. Which, again, as you look at Benjamin Netanyahu invoking the specter of, you know, Jewish expulsions throughout history, it's like you gotta wonder, is this how they happen? Like, there was no problem with Jews in America. There never has been. There isn't now. To this day, there is no official or unofficial discrimination against Jews. You're not permitted from worshiping the way you want, or, I mean, and honestly, maybe a little bit too much freedom with certain Jewish communities, like the ones that we've seen in New Jersey taking over towns and bankrupting the education program while sending all of their kids to taxpayer-funded private schools. Like, yeah, I mean, there's no problem here. There's no oppression. There's no unfair taxation. There's no blood libels and peasants with pitchforks driving you out of town. That's never exists in America. It never would exist in America. But now they're trying to deliberately create that situation in America. And it does have a tendency to start propelling itself, to institute the feedback loop where they say this is anti-Semitism, you're all anti-Semites. We say, well, no, we're not. We just don't want to do this one thing. And then the Jews say to their Jewish American cohorts, hey, these Americans are going to turn on you. We better get out of here quick. We're like, so wait, you're bankrupting us? So wait, you're taking all of your money out and going to a different country? So are you not loyal to America? This is kind of a problem. They're like, see, the anti-Semitism says we're not loyal to America. It's this very dangerous feedback loop. So while, you know, the article, the post I just read, I think is factually valid, and I think his sentiment is probably one shared by a lot of people getting sick and tired of the likes of Benjamin Netanyahu extolling our fellow Americans to rebel against us, like that's unacceptable and there's no reason why we should be okay with that whatsoever. I think it's up to the Jews. And, you know, maybe this would be a good time to rehash something I've done before. I intended to do it a couple weeks ago because there was another instance like this. Basically pulling up pages from AIPAC or the ADL or the SPLC because they've written a lot of articles that are telling white people how to accept, you know, their displacement or how to accept people hating them and talking bad about them. And, you know, maybe we need to rehash that where they go, you know, white people can get very uncomfortable when the topic of race comes up. But, you know, it's up to white people. You've got to have the courage and the, you know, goodwill to discuss this. It's going to be some painful conversations. That's actually true for Jews in this country. It's like, no, y'all need to have some very serious conversations with yourselves and determine what path you want to take, because it's Benjamin Netanyahu and it's Israel and it's the self-appointed spokespeople for the Jewish diaspora like Mark Levin on the right or Jonathan Greenblatt on the left. They're the ones that are creating this hostile atmosphere. You can reject them outright. You can expel them from your coalition. You can stand up and declare that they do not represent you and you are not on their side. But until you do that, it is what it is.
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on Tri-Iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat. High quality. With a nice leather patch made in the USA, just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, or the concept. 1776 Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
All right, folks, we're done. We're done. All right? We're done talking about Israel this episode. As much as I can. As much as I can be. We're done talking about Israel. We're moving on. We got a bunch of other hilarious nonsense to talk about. And just sheer insanity. I mean, there's so much craziness. Like, the fact that the reflecting pool outside the Lincoln Memorial has become like a battleground. Every day, there's multiple videos. We now have plainclothed and uniformed National Guard members standing guard around the Lincoln reflecting pool because leftists can't help that they're attacking it. They're tearing up the sealant to try to ruin the fountain just so they can get one over on Donald Trump. And it is maybe the most idiocracy, the most glaring example of how this country is just unbelievably screwed. Because what the hell are we doing here, guys? And then there's like so many different aspects to it, because we could get into, because not only could we get into the weird leftist obsession with this pool where you literally have people like risking jail time just to go tear up some sealant in the Lincoln Memorial. It's genuinely crazy. On the face of it, that alone would be enough to be like, we have a serious problem here. What the hell is going on? But then you actually look into like what's going on with the reflecting pool, and it's like, okay, there's a lot of incompetence going on here too. The Trump administration filled up this pool from water from the Potomac, which has the algae in it, which caused the bloom. And then they're pouring hydrogen peroxide to try to kill the algae, but the hydrogen peroxide is making the like paint peel up. And it's just like, okay, so first you have the insane, inexplicable incompetence where we cannot even get a fountain repaired. But that's made so much more difficult by things like this. Former U.S. Olympian arrested for vandalizing reflecting pool. Trump admin warns defilers will be prosecuted to the fullest extent. A 67-year-old three-time Olympic canoeist was vandalizing the reflecting pool. But why, though? But what is the point of this? So, again, you know, it's just stuff like that. And then on top of that, you go, okay, the mainstream media has run 300 stories about this reflecting pool in the same time period that it was revealed by Tulsi Gabbard, the ODNI, that Anthony Fauci deliberately covered up the lab origin leak of the virus, resulting in potentially the deaths of millions of people. So the mainstream media has not once covered that revelation. Not a single mainstream media channel, newspaper, nothing. None of them have come out to report on the fact that Anthony Fauci is in fact a supervillain that actually created the virus that destroyed the world. Like, you would think that would be a big news story, but it's been completely ignored. And instead, they are daily sending out entire investigative teams to try to get to the bottom of what's causing the algae in the reflecting pond. So you see what I mean by like layers of absurdity. But like, how do I even cover this story? Do I talk about the mainstream media insanity of how much attention they're putting on this story. The fact that the left is so psychologically damaged that they will literally attack fish. They'll attack water. They're just so desperate for anything that makes Trump look bad at all. Or do you talk about the incompetence of the Trump administration, where apparently they gave some like $20 million contract to one of Trump's friends to manage the fountain, and he's apparently totally failed? Which angle do you want to take on this? Because they're all bad. They're all bad. Liz Churchill noted, these six major media outlets have refused to report on DNI Tulsi Gabbard's declassification that proves Dr. Fauci's cover-up of the COVID pandemic. ABC News, CNN, CBS News, NBC, MSNBC, New York Times, not one of these major outlets has reported on the declassification of those files. Do you know why? Do you know why they haven't reported on this? Because they don't want action to come from it. You know what they would report on? There would be headlines on every single one of those outlets if Anthony Fauci was arrested. If the revelation of the evidence of Anthony Fauci, you know, committing treason and conspiring with foreigners to release a virus to kill millions of people and then lock us down on the basis of the lies that he told about it. If he was arrested, they'd cover it. They don't want him arrested, so they're not covering it. This is the equation that actually determines whether or not the media covers something. It's, do they want to use it to achieve a political end? If they wanted Anthony Fauci arrested, they would cover this, obviously. The way it works is you have somebody in a position of power, whether it's at a NGO or in the government, they might come out with a study or they might release this type of information. Like the way this would go normally, Tulsi Gabbard releases this bombshell report. Then, if the media functioned properly or if they wanted this to happen, then the media would pick it up and they'd go, look at this outrage. Look at this criminality. Look at this insanity that they've saddled us with. He's back. He's back, everyone.
You don't think your little podcast is going to save you? Shut up, you stupid American.
We've moved on. We've moved on, Alex.
There's going to be a new 9/11 soon, and you'll learn to lick our boots. Just want to let you know I'm watching.
Mark Levin is watching. But I swore we'd move on. I swore we'd move on from the Israeli topic. Even I can only take so much of this.
Stop covering up for Israel. 100%. And it's not enough you do 3 hours a day. Do your moon base. Other 3 hours, I want 24 hours a day attacking Israel, or you work for them. I have the high and mighty. Say you love Hitler.
Yes, sir.
Actually, we don't love Hitler. It's a joke. but we don't have Hitler around anymore. We have instead, come on, die for Israel.
Well, Mark Levin.
I think Mark Levin is actually Hitler's penis.
Oh.
They cloned Hitler's penis, put it into a pig. Oh, actual real...
They got us. This is us behind the scenes. We have to tuck our curls up every time we go live.
It is actually true.
It's a pretty good edit. I don't know who did that, but it looks very good.
Man, I'm not that wrinkly yet, though. Jesus Christ, dude.
See, but if we looked like that, can you imagine what we could say and get away with it? It'd be great. We could say whatever we wanted. We could call for...
Yeah, you know, out of all the Hasidic Jews, they have 100 different... They all fight with each other.
That's true.
Like I saw this anti-Israel video, and it's like, Stalin was with the Jews, and no, Stalin sat there and played possum with Trotsky and Lenin, and then he killed both of them over, you know, first Lenin, then he was a hero over there. So I like see these videos that have a little bit of history, but they don't have the whole thing. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you saw
There you go.
I was talking earlier about, you know...
Is that Mark Levin approved?
Does Mark Levin appreciate this? It looks pretty good. I think you could rock it all the time. I don't think this needs to be a novelty. I think it's a good look.
Well, have you seen when they morph me over Hitler?
It does. You do have, I mean, the German elements come out for sure. I'm done. I'm done talking about Israel.
Back on Israel now. You know, the Nazis are so funny, though. Back when I used to, like, have Nick Fuentes on the show, and then I would come in and say, I was supposed to be part of the show, and I'd come in and say, don't cover Israel. The people thought that was real. It's like, yeah. It's a joke, dummies.
I know.
But those guys know that. I'm telling you, what I'm saying is the low IQ anti-Semites, it's a real thing.
Yeah, it is. I was saying today, I saw somebody, a church was on fire, and it was people going, we know this is Mossad, we know this is Israel. And it's like, guys, they do a lot. They aren't responsible for literally everything.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you're completely off the mark.
I like this light on for you. Why don't you turn it off?
It's the glasses. It reflects in the glasses.
No, more psychotic. Come on.
You like it?
How do you turn this on?
Don't tell him.
Get in here.
No, it's too bright.
No.
The audience doesn't like it.
They're too close.
They made me promise.
Ah, fire weapons. Ah, I'm going
to
keep doing
He's trying to turn on the eye light. It's too bright. It's too bright. Oh, they're showing him. Don't. Why? No. No, I like the darkness. Let me be in the dark. What can I say? Oh, wait, you're blocking me.
Let me see what it looks like. Come on.
I'm telling you, it's the reflection's too much.
Get your head. Don't stop. Let me see.
Look, you see? I'm glowing. I don't know. See, it's the glasses. You don't find that distracting?
No, you're right. It's not good.
I think I look better without it.
Oh, go back to him.
That's right. Whenever I wear contacts, we'll turn it on.
I'm crushing your head. Crushing your head. Mark Levin here. I'm crushing your head.
This is what Israel doesn't want out. This is what they really... This is why we're such a danger to them. Can y'all even hear him? He's not even mic'd. It's just me talking to myself at this point. No, we're done. We're done. I mean, we could keep... I mean, do you want to? I mean, we could. I mean, yeah, if we want to keep talking about Israel, I have literally more stacks that we could go through. It could be an endless report. They left the eye light on, by the way. Now the eye light is still on. And the reflection is terrible. Oh, no,
he's attack Israel!
Oh, no. Oh, crap.
Attack Israel! Attack them! Heil Hitler!
Whoa! Look, somebody got into the Shilajit gummies. That's all I'm saying. Somebody's overdosing on Shilajit around here. It's not me. Couldn't be me. What were we even talking about? What was I getting into? Oh, that nobody's talking about Anthony Fauci because we didn't arrest him. Because nothing's actually happened yet. But that's the way it works, folks. If they wanted something to happen, then they would report it. It would become a phenomenon. Everybody out there, it would be the same headline and everything. Anthony Fauci exposed. We demand judgment. They would be asked, because then what happens is then they bring on politicians to ask them about the big story that they're all covering. And that's the way that they pressure the politicians. And they say, hey, you know, this is a really big deal. You know, you might not get reelected if you don't do something about this. What are we going to do about this? And then the politicians are on the spot and they're making promises. And then they have to go back and say, hey, I just was on air promising to get to the bottom of this. What are we going to do to get to the bottom of it? This is what. And so, again, you have to understand the mainstream media, their entire purpose is creating narratives, is creating the illusion of trends or phenomenons. Again, you know, I can find more examples, but the classic example is George Floyd. Is you get one guy dying in police custody. It's a brutal video, which helps it go viral. But that gets extrapolated out toward the mainstream media in a chorus all at once, ubiquitously, not a single outlet, you know, not doing the same thing, not participating in this, where they all say this is a you know, trend. This is a genocide going on, and we've got to do whatever it takes to stop this. This constant barrage of young, innocent black men being murdered by the police doesn't exist, has never existed, but they create it from whole cloth. And they could do that with Anthony Fauci. They're not doing it with Anthony Fauci because they don't want to, because they're protecting him, because just like they have the ability to create the narratives, they have the ability to destroy them as well. That's why it's not that complicated. This is another wild story from this. I love this. So in Oregon, the governor is celebrating. She's had a major success here, major achievement. Overdose deaths have dropped by nearly 40% in 2 years. Well, that's huge. That's an accomplishment, right? Only they're only reversing their own policy and trying to mitigate the bad effects of their own policy. So step one was to essentially legalize all drugs. So the overdose deaths skyrocket through the roof. Step two is you criminalize illicit drugs again. You go back to what they were before. Overdose deaths drop by half. And then you come out and celebrate it taking credit only for the reversal of the thing you did in the first place. Crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, no, they're literally like, we've had major success. Oh, really? In a diametric, you know, betrayal of your own beliefs? Because what you thought would happen, actually the opposite happened. You thought somehow overdose deaths would go down and crime would go down if you just let criminals do their drugs in the open air. That totally backfired, obviously. That predictably led to many more overdose deaths. But instead of admitting that you were wrong, you now want to take credit for going back to the way things were. It's kind of a Strait of Hormuz-style operation, actually, if you think about it. We got back to where we were before the war began, and we're supposed to celebrate that like it's a victory. Actually, got back to where you were slightly worse than where you were. Not quite back to where you were, totally. And there's so many stories like this. Like this, these are the types of stories I generally don't cover because we have so much to cover Israel and everything else, but you got to love this. New York Times published 4 pieces about fatherhood on Father's Day. The authors of these pieces were 3 women, a trans man, and 2 childless men. Not one father. The cultural contempt for dads runs so deep, we don't even get to speak for ourselves. And he goes on, this is Alex Berenson, who's right occasionally about stuff like this, but wrong about most things. I want to congratulate New York Times for perfectly catching how the cultural elite view men and fatherhood this Father's Day. Yes, to the Times, being a dad is something you do to feel better about having your tits cut off. Cannot make it up. And it's literally these like cartoons when it's like, Dad, how long were you a girl? And it's just like, is this what fatherhood is about? It's about being a mother, cross-dress. It's about cross-dressing mother. Great. Great. No, it's wonderful. There's some disturbing stuff, too. It's like, how do you go from something that silly to something? This is the way, again, the mainstream media works. While we're on the topic of creating narratives from absolutely nothing and then inspiring a bunch of action on the basis of those fake narratives. And this has gone around for a while, but it's worth it to revisit it. It's a post from 2 posts from Reddit. The first on the world news subcategory says renewed calls for Catholic Church apology after mass grave of indigenous children found in Canada. Oh my God. 68,000 upvotes, right? Stayed on top of the page forever, on top of the site forever. This claim, this headline. That includes everything, right? Mass grave, indigenous people, and children, right? So this is designed to get attention. It's designed to express one thought above all others, which is the Catholic Church, white people in Canada, murdered endless indigenous children, probably for no reason, probably just for fun, but certainly covered it up, and we haven't even heard about it. That's how evil they are. Meanwhile, the follow-up to this, no human remains found 2 years after claims of mass graves in Canada. It gets no upvotes because it gets removed from the category. So this is the mainstream media in a nutshell. A blatant, abject, ridiculous lie about the Catholic Church having mass graves. No mass graves were ever found. They sponsored tens of millions of dollars worth of ground-penetrating radar scans, LIDAR scans, whatever they could do to try to prove that there was at least one grave on one residential school. They never found a single ounce of human remains. They never found a grave. They never found a graveyard. They never found mass graves. They never found dead children. They never found skeletons. They found nothing. And yet, it is illegal in Canada to question the veracity of the claims about the residential school genocide. Thanks in no small part to the media campaign that spread this lie with no proof. There was never any evidence. How could there be? It didn't exist. And this is what it's like being a conspiracy theorist. This is what it's like being aware, being in tune with this stuff, actually knowing the truth, is I literally have to sit here and report on essentially what amounts to giant protests, giant nationwide activist movement, you know, phenomenons about Bigfoot, right? Something that just doesn't exist. Man, that's not the best example because that might exist. Actually, it's not even a good example because there's a better chance that Bigfoot exists than the residential genocide exists. I need something faker than Bigfoot because there's actually, theoretically, pictures of Bigfoot. I mean, there's more proof for Bigfoot than there is for the residential school in Canada. So actually, it's even worse than that. It's something they literally made up from whole cloth. So it's not just that you have thousands of people storming the Capitol in Canada and tearing down the statue of Queen Victoria and burning down 120 churches in Canada as a direct response to this lie. It's like, imagine it was all these people on the street committing violence, risking jail time, screaming until their faces red, passing laws to stop you from questioning Bigfoot's older brother, Jeff, who has a jet ski, right? Something even less likely than Bigfoot. Bigfoot who does water sports or something. I can't think of something less real than the residential school genocide. So how am I supposed to go on like this? I got to report on stuff that doesn't exist, and yet people are tearing down statues and burning down churches over it, and it's illegal to question it. And then when the truth gets posted, it not only doesn't do quite as well as the original story, it gets removed immediately because it contradicts the narrative, because it has nothing to do with the truth, what these people believe and what they base their policy on. We are literally being controlled by the paranoid nightmares of these psychotic idiots. There's nothing real. Nothing really happened. There's no real damage being done. There's no real enemy being fought. These are a bunch of Bigfoot hunters who have control of our government and are basing their decisions and writing laws on the basis of Sasquatch's cool older brother, Jeff, who knows how to do a kickflip. It doesn't exist, and it never has. But for some reason, huge swaths of the world, including probably the majority of people in our country and Canada, if you were to ask them, have you heard of the residential schools? If they'd even heard of it, they'd say, oh yeah, it was that fact that the Catholic school murdered a bunch of indigenous children in Canada. I totally heard about that. This image is significantly more valid, is significantly more legitimate. It would make more sense to write laws on the basis of this photo being a real life picture of the Pacific Northwest mountain ape than just a dude in a costume. At least they put a dude in a costume. At least there's a picture of it. That is evidence. I mean, whether it's real evidence, whether it's fake evidence, I mean, that is actual, that is more evidence than they have for the residential school. Far more. And that just goes to show you how lazy the false flags are now. They couldn't find a couple kid skeletons to go bury somewhere to false flag us. They don't have to. They don't need to. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they wanted to actually create a hoax of the residential school, they could do a little extra work. They could dig a couple holes. And even if there's nothing in it, they could go, well, our LIDAR scan shows that grave-sized holes were found. They don't even do that. They didn't even put the work in that the original Bigfoot hoaxers put in. They actually bought a costume. They actually went out and made something. They provided evidence. More than you can say for the residential school hoax in Canada.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that going bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that, the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery
rounds. But then you can roll over the financial instruments too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation. Or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is going to be a jam-packed final segment here on War Room Live, AlexJonesLive.com. I got a bunch of videos to go to, some very good ones. And I do want to remind you, where is it, that this hat is now available at thealexjonesstore.com. Should I just wear it? Should I just wear it the whole show? I think it's a good enough looking hat. I think I could wear this the whole show. Nobody would even question it. They might question where I got it. The answer would be from thealexjonesstore.com, of course. It's one of the 250th anniversary patriotic hats. It's got 1776 with the guns crossed on top. I'm telling you, there's something about this design. I just can't get over it. It's just so cool. What am I supposed to say? Right now, the America's 250th birthday limited edition 4th of July apparel sale is on. This collection is 30% off. Make the order now so you can get it before July 3rd. And actually, the date is on the site there. Order before June 28th at 11:59 p.m. in order to guarantee it arrives at or before July 3rd. So you have it in time for that 250th anniversary. You don't want to show up to the 4th of July barbecue without a cool hat, all right? Don't embarrass George Washington's ghost. You're going to want to show up being decked out head to toe in the most patriotic gear you can find. The best place to get it is thealexjonesstore.com. Of course, the supplements are on sale as well. Methylene Blue right now is buy one, get one free. It's the summer sale kickoff event. buy one, get one for methylene blue tincture, buy one, get one half off for T3 trifecta iodine tincture, and of course, 30% off the patriotic apparel, including the coolest hat ever made, the 1776 hat. Yeah, the crew comes around trying to fix my hair here. Maybe I'll just keep the hat on. You know, maybe, no, we're taking it off. But I am wearing it as soon as I get outside, as soon as I'm done with this show. All right, with that, I got a bunch of, like I said, really powerful videos to go to. Let's begin with clip number one here, as after all, today, Clive Davis has passed away. Clive Davis has passed away, and he has a very long and storied history. He's one of these guys that you might not know his name. If you're not in the conspiracy world, you might not be super aware of the influence that he has had, but he is one of the invisible orchestrators of America's culture. And for the last several decades, he has been a kingpin designing and shaping the minds of our youth through dictating the music that is popular. Let's go now to clip number one, where you can see a couple of historically minded men discuss a 1995 secret meeting at Clive Davis's house in Beverly Hills. Let's watch.
In that 1995 meeting in Beverly Hills, in the home of Clive Davis, who was responsible for the murder of Whitney Houston, I said it. His days are numbered. And there were rappers there from all over the country. They were invited to the home of Clive Davis, along with members of the CIA, FBI, which they didn't understand why the government was there, including many directors and CEOs of the private prisons throughout the United States was at that meeting in the mansion of Clive Davis. And they were telling these rappers, you need to create songs talking about killing police, calling black women bees and hoes. You need to get more nasty so we can fill our prisons that we're building.
Okay. You know what's crazy? During that time, I can recall when that gangster music came into play.
That's it.
And how they, you know, I don't know if the guys rapping it really knew, but they created the atmosphere.
Yes.
But it went from, I remember guys wanting to wear like the African chains around their neck,
yes,
dancing and the haircuts, flat tops, kid and play.
Flat top,
Kwame,
yeah,
to the really thugged out and
yes,
just the gang stuff. And I can recall going into like liquor stores or different places, and all they had was blue and red rags.
Right.
It was just like that stuff was all programmed.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that last part is really a brilliant, you know, deduction of what came from this. Because it, you know, it wasn't just about filling the private prison systems, although I wouldn't be surprised if that was a, you know, very pertinent concern for, you know, the industrial masters. But the whole creation of an artificial division, are you red or are you blue? Are you Crips or are you Bloods? We're going to divide the whole population, the whole, you know, black youth population. You're either on one side or the other, and the only thing you care about is killing people from the other side. It's like a metaphor. I mean, it's like a, you know, a children's story or something with just how cut and dry and clear it is, where it's just like, oh, look, populations that are literally exactly the same, we're going to divide them right down the middle. We're going to say that team's the left team and that team's the right team. This is red, they're blue. Have at it, boys. And people do it. I, you know, it's an inclination. It's, you know, we are herd animals. We want a team, you know, that's beside us. Obviously, if you grow up in a lawless and dangerous neighborhood, you're going to be forced to choose one way or the other. But think about this. How did rap culture go from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and friggin' that type of stuff to gangster Tupac, Snoop? Because this, the secret to understand, the thing you need to comprehend and is evident from the way Hollywood has been the last couple of years, is the one thing you know it wasn't about is money. Because you know that if Hollywood or if the music industry was motivated by money, they would have done a whole lot of different stuff over the last few years. What we've learned from the last couple of years of Hollywood film production, totally and incontrovertibly, is that they don't care about losing money if it progresses their political agenda. You know what would have made a ton of money is a Star Wars movie that was good. How about a Star Wars movie where you have a hero who overcomes a challenge? What if we did that? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, they could be printing money right now, but they didn't want to print money. They wanted to have a girl boss hero. They wanted the Force to be female. They wanted to take this potential for infinite profit creation, and they wanted to utilize that to progress their political agenda. And so everything they make sucks. They make no money, but they keep making it. And the people who make the movies that make no money keep getting hired to make more movies that continue to not make any money. So it's not about money, folks. And this is just as true now as it was in the 1990s. It wasn't like, oh, rap that's violent is popular, so we're going to follow that trend. Hey, the money's going that way. We go that way too. And it's not our fault. This is what's popular. We're just giving the people what they want. That's not how this works. That's people want to blame capitalism. But like, think about the fact that, I mean, hell, BlackRock came out and straight up said it and was like, we have to force people's behavior. We're going to withhold money unless you do these certain things. Again, do you think that there was a big clamoring, you know, audience or customer base of transgender children that were just desperate for bathing suits where you could tuck, you know, like that wasn't a thing that the market demanded, but that was a thing Target rolled out because it would get them a higher corporate credit score, essentially, from BlackRock. The ESG score would go up if they were deliberately making, you know, big displays celebrating trans children. That's what they were going to do. No, they didn't sell any of these. This wasn't a profit thing. Just like gangster rap wasn't about profit. There were other motives. There were ulterior motives. And there were probably a lot of them. You can keep the black population divided by making them pick team blue or team red. And it, I mean, I'm telling you folks, go read a history of Justinian or the Byzantine court. At that time, there were chariot races. That was like the NFL of the day was chariot races. Gladiator fights had sort of gone the way of the dodo bird, but the chariot races became this big cultural fixture, and there were the reds, or I'm sorry, there were the greens and the blues. Did it mean anything? Not really. They sort of started to coalesce around, like, I can't remember which one it was, because it's arbitrary, they're just random colors, but, you know, the green were the more, like, elite, and the blue were the more, you know, lower class people. That was more or less the division, but it became like a major political division, but it's just reminiscent of that, where it's like, okay, you take your population that could combine to attack you, and you, again, split them down the middle, assign them with a color, and say, your enemy is that color now. Blues are against greens. Fight. And they do, and they would fight, and they would tear each other down. And this was, in many cases, a deliberate strategy by Justinian and Theodora to create division. And, like, literally, they play into it, where it was like, Justinian was green team and Theodora was blue team. And so then the people, you know, got to, like, you know, read whatever the equivalent of the newspaper or the X of the time was. It'd be all this gossip about, like, oh, well, you know, there's this big problem because she's blue and he's green. And so, I mean, how can they even live together? It's like, it's all this artificial division created on purpose just for the division, to create the division. I mean, that's sort of the end result, is divide and conquer, but these people are already conquered. It's just divide and remain conquered, I guess is how you could put it. But I thought that was an interesting little video from about Clive Davis. And you can look into the claims made for it, made in that video for yourself. Now I want to go to a video. This one might be kind of shocking to you, but give it a second. But just give it a second, okay? Because I saw this video posted with the simple label, I'm glad Charlie Kirk died. Okay. I'd like to hear this. Clip 24. This is a leftist talking about why he's happy that Charlie Kirk got assassinated. Let's watch.
I'm actually glad that Charlie Kirk was murdered, but probably not for the reason you think. I was at work when I first found out. A fellow employee had wandered up to me, cell phone in hand, and asked, did you hear that Charlie Kirk just got assassinated? And I, without even a moment's hesitation, responded, good! That Nazi white supremacist piece of I had never before witnessed such a perfectly blended expression of disgust, disappointment, sadness, and surprise, all through the window of another man's eyes, or experienced a silence so uncomfortable as the one that followed. And although that look on his face now haunts me more and more with each passing day, at the time, it only made me distrustful and upset. But little did I know that the sentence which followed would end up becoming the most profoundly psychologically impactful question that I've ever been confronted with. Have you ever actually watched any of his debates? I decided to end the conversation immediately. This man was clearly a lost cause, one of those intellectually dishonest Kool-Aid drinking types who refuses to engage in good faith with any perspective which contradicts their outstandingly narrow and propagandized worldview. And by this man, I mean me. Because I hadn't actually watched any of his debates. I was basing literally every single thing I believe about a human being with thousands of hours worth of publicly available recordings of himself openly expressing his opinions on a small handful of out-of-context clips that had been curated for me by algorithms and media organizations being funded by the political opposition. I foamed at the mouth, right along with the rest of those rabid and bloodthirsty dogs, gleefully mocking those who had been saddened by his death and downplaying the atrocity of it all by suggesting that political violence is just an unfortunate yet necessary step toward our coveted socialist revolution, that is, until I began to notice a common thread. The exact same comment being repeated ad nauseum in nearly every single online space. Have you ever actually watched any of his debates? I didn't think much of it at first. Of course right-wingers are all regurgitating the exact same talking point. They're in a cult. They're brainwashed. It was an ordinary and boring morning on the day I found out that I am a monster. In that moment where my curiosity got the best of me and I decided to click on some random YouTube thumbnail of Charlie Kirk with his goofy and gummy smile in an attempt to reaffirm my preconceived biases. And it was an unusually stressful afternoon on that very same day when I spoke to my father for the first time in years, despite the fact that he had always loved and supported me unconditionally. And it was a never-ending sleepless night, coming to terms with the fact that literally every single thing I thought I hated about the right, the bigotry, stupidity, violence, vitriol, and narrow-mindedness was actually just an outward projection of hatred toward my own self. Charlie Kirk is my hero. He opened my eyes to the cruel and manipulative nature of our political media, brought my family back together, and taught me how to love again. And to anyone who takes issue or offense with that, I'm going to do exactly what he would have done, and challenge you to answer a simple, honest, and straightforward question. Have you ever actually watched any of his debates?
It's like, I mean, whoa. I mean, could you get a better video than that? And hey, maybe I believe him. By the way, Shibuki underscore sunshine on TikTok was the account that uploaded that. I assume that's that guy's name. Shabooki underscore sunshine. So shout out to Shibuki sunshine. And it's like this, it can happen. It can happen. It can happen just like that. Do you know how many times I've said that exact phrase? Usually about Alex Jones. But whether it's Alex Jones or myself or Charlie Kirk, it's a consistent phenomenon. Have you actually watched it? Well, I mean, I've seen plenty of... No. But have you actually watched the show? I think I know enough about what you cover to understand... No. But have you actually watched... Of course, the answer is always no. Always. And you just... We pray. We hang our hat. We, in fact, only do what we do every day. We are committed to this, at times, seemingly impossible mission to rescue this country and awaken the world to the dangers that we face and the lies that their outlook is dictated by. We predicate all of this on that glimmer, that little shimmer, that little slice of hope that says maybe, just maybe, the person we're talking to is capable of independent thought. Maybe they will go out and watch a video. Maybe they'll actually think about it. Maybe they, like Shibuki Sunshine, will realize they're the bad guys after all. And it's like every once in a while, you just need that little injection of hope. You need that little reminder that, hey, this is possible. People can wake up. As frustrating as it can be, trying to get them to just acknowledge reality, occasionally a spectacular moment happens like that. Of course, it's unfortunate it took the death of Charlie Kirk to bring that about. But hopefully videos like that from Shibuki Sunshine, who frankly, we should try to get him on the show. Because, I mean, that was just incredibly powerful. That was incredibly good. I would love to know, you know, sort of what his political process has been, where he is now, where he started, if you could explain that. Because we can say, I mean, it's just not the same. We can sit here and go, these people are brainwashed. They believe lies about these people. They think all of this stuff. It is nothing compared to a person actually saying, I was the bad guy. It's not just that I was wrong about the right wing. I was diametrically wrong. I was absolutely the opposite of what I thought I was. I mean, that is really something exceptional. I think that's fantastic. Now, you may know, folks, Prime Minister Keir Starmer has resigned, ending probably the most embarrassing prime ministership in the UK history. It's almost comical how badly he failed at literally everything. This guy came into office. Well, first he'd gotten to office. He paid his dues, by which I mean spent an entire career allowing pedophiles to get away with their crimes. So he paid his dues to the British establishment, was appointed prime minister, basically made everything worse for everybody, tried to write laws to stop everybody from talking about how much worse he was making everything, and is now resigned in absolute disgrace. He will be remembered primarily for being two-tier Keir, presiding over the complete dissolution of the House of Lords, as well as jury trials in the United Kingdom, the massive expansion of the surveillance state and digital ID, the importation of millions of hostile foreigners, the cover-up of their crimes. What an abysmal, hilarious failure this quote-unquote man has proven to be. And on top of it all, he looks like a vaguely gay bobblehead. On top of all of it, the man looks like, well, I don't know what he looks like. I'm trying to figure it out, actually. I don't know, but I know that I wouldn't, like, he kind of looks like a middle school professor, but would you trust him around children? That's why I'm struggling to explain exactly what he looks like, because what he looks like and what he is are completely different. He looks like a lesbian. He looks like a harmless, testosterone-free beta male pushover cuck. But in fact, he's a ruthless agent of the globalist, a heartless, you know, functionary of the global anti-human system. He's not exactly harmless. He's just a bobblehead. He just looks like a bobblehead. Let's go now to, we're going to go to clip 19 and then 20 together. This is George Galloway talking about the resignation of Keir Starmer in a way that only he can, and with an expression, with a phrase that I think really should illustrate just how bad this guy really was. Because George Galloway is like a hardcore leftist socialist. But here's what he had to say about the resignation of Keir Starmer.
Somebody asked me today, why are you saying Starmer was the worst prime minister ever? Have you forgotten Margaret Thatcher? I said, Margaret Thatcher hated me, but she never tried to stop me speaking.
Yes.
She never set the police on me with guns to arrest me in an airport, in public. She never did, pardon me, any of those things.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say Starmer is worse. He has instituted a reign of intellectual terror where you are told in the most Orwellian ways you're not allowed to say that a woman can't have a penis. Sorry to introduce that, but it's a big issue in Britain. It's illegal to say it. If I'm confronted by
say that again. You're not allowed to say that a woman cannot have a penis.
You're not allowed to say that. It's illegal.
Because that's discriminatory.
That's you're misgendering and you are encouraging hate. I am confronted by a 250-pound gorilla wearing a wig. And if I call him he rather than she, I've committed a criminal offense. A British prime minister is akin to an American president.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have quite the executive authority. There is a nominal monarch, sovereign above him, but it's only nominal. What the prime minister says goes. So we've now replaced a guy that was at least elected with a guy that nobody has elected, not even the Labour Party members, because it's looking like a coronation. It's looking like he'll be the only candidate in the race. So no one will have voted for him, but he will have all power in the state, power over our foreign policy, our attitude to the EU, to the Ukraine war, power over economic policy, power over everything. It's an executive. Prime Minister originates in the Latin primus inter pares, first amongst equals. But they're not equals anymore. The Prime Minister calls the shots. And we've got an unelected one coming up fast.
Kind of reminds you of Biden and Kamala, doesn't it? A little parliamentary behind-the-scenes trickery. And suddenly, an unelected appointed bureaucrat has all the powers of an elected prime minister. And we'll see how long that goes. Just out of time to play a couple videos I'll have to save for tomorrow. Yeah, we'll have to save these for tomorrow. I got a bunch of stuff I wasn't able to get to today that we will hit tomorrow, including a video explaining, and, you know, this is kind of interesting, but there's a lot of controversy online about, anyway, we don't need to get into it here. Like paganism and Nazism and all this sort of stuff, and some very interesting research that was done that shows that basically the whole, like, occult paganism aspect of the right wing was deliberately seeded by people that don't believe in that stuff, but, you know, do want to trick everybody into going off the going down a historical dead end in that way. I'll play that video tomorrow. You'll have to tune in tomorrow to War Room Live, of course, at 3 p.m. Central Time. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself one of these incredible hats before they sell out, 1776. You only have a few more days to order and make your purchases at thealexjonesstore.com to guarantee that it arrives on July 3rd so you can be decked out, looking stylish and patriotic come July 4th. Hats sometimes make my ears stick out. I got to wear it in a very particular way. I'm telling you, I'm obsessed with this hat. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Right now, methylene blue tincture is buy one, get one absolutely free. T3. Nascent iodine tincture is buy one, get one 50% off. That's the summer sale kickoff event. It ends Wednesday, so make those orders now while you still can. And of course, get your 250th birthday apparel right now at 30% off. Order it today so it arrives in time for Independence Day this July 4th. Signing off. This has been Harrison Smith. I will see you tomorrow.
Took him 2 years to do it. Bailey came on as our sponsor, now the owner of the Auctions Network and then the main backer. I said, I want gravity-fed filters. I sent him the test from previous sponsors, and I said, these guys fell off. Their quality wasn't as good. I got rid of them. This happens to these companies. There's only out of more than 50 gravity-fed companies, three or four that have the very best filters that cut everything out. They're stainless steel, and they start cutting the quality for whatever reason. I said, I want the highest rated stainless steel. I want a clone of these products, but even better. And I want filters rated this high or higher. They went out, took them 2 years. They did it. This is something everybody needs. Everybody wants. There's a giant market of folks that know how wonderful gravity fed filters are and know what quality is. We have all the tests published on the site. It's the best. There are companies selling filters that the stainless steel isn't as nice, anywhere close, and the filters aren't even the highest rated. They're selling the damn things for $400. They're selling units similar to ours, aren't even as good, for $500 retail, discounting at $400. These babies are $300 and even lower for VIP members. There is very small markup. The markup is not even 100% in these, okay? And when you're VIP, it's even lower. That is the best deal. This is a home run. This is the best. This is going to help hire new crew on top of the crew, extra crew. It's going to help get new reporters and hosts and the new network getting completed with all the equipment stuff. I mean, this is a big investment here. We're rebuilding our operations. We can't do it without you. So your word of mouth for the show, alexjoneslive.com, getting the free app, sharing that with others where they can get it, alexjonesapp.com. Following us on Exit Real Alex Jones, following us on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. That's all critical in telling others to do that. Your word of mouth, your prayers king, but getting these products is also critical. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you, because we want you to love it and be impressed with it, so we have a relationship with you.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.